Tuesday night. You
play Thursday. Hello, everyone, and welcome to a What a Night part of the 90 Min Podcast Network. Great to be back with you all on the show today. Hunter Godson, Jude Summerfield, Sean Walsh. And there is this is almost essentially a wake at the sort of the end of Eric Lamela's time at Spurs. It was really interesting watching it all unfold because Shawnee has made the very good point that Toby Alderweireld's Spurs career looks as though it might be coming to a close as well. And it's all gone very quietly. Whereas Eric Lamela, there's been this outpouring of almost grief seeing him leave the club. Shawnee, why is that?
Yeah, it doesn't really make sense because you think how good Alderweireld was for us. I mean, there was a point where he was the best defender in the Premier League, probably 3, 4, 5 best in the world. He was just so effortless with how he defended. It was so easy for him. And yet, here we are now. It just, like, I don't think at any point in their careers has Lamela actually been a better player than Alderweireld. Not for not a day, not a week, not a month, nothing. He's never been better than him. But football is just so, like, about feeling and emotion and intangibles that it's not about how good you are. It's about the little things. And I wrote a piece last week about Lamela. And it's basically just that, like, the difference between his tangible contributions and intangible contributions is, I don't think I've ever seen a Spurs player like it. Like, he leaves with about 20 Premier League goals to his name, if that. But just all those big moments, like, we'll probably get to them, like, just year after year of shithousery, and I'm always gonna love him for that. And that's why today you can see, like, the outpouring of emotion for him. It's bittersweet.
I love that you sound genuinely quite upset. Like, this has rocked you in the Lamela fan club. Unfortunately, no Dan Kilpatrick as well today. Still on holiday. He would be adding some serious clout to the Lamela diehards. Oh, yeah.
If he cared enough, he'd be here, so.
That's very true.
Today, we'll talk through Lamela Spurs' career. We're going to whiz over some of the transfer news as well, and we'll very quickly kind of touch on the friendlies that have happened so far. So let's do a little bit of a deep dive into Eric Lamela and the sort of, like, the cult of Eric Lamela, because I don't think, Hunter, there's been a player in my memory that has captivated fans in the same way over moments that were often just completely fleeting.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, he almost encapsulates what it is to be a Tottenham fan, and that you are going to have these moments of glory, absolute brilliance, but the majority of it is going to be frustrating, and it's going to be annoying to watch at times, but you're going to bloody love it anyway. And the one thing about Eric Lamela that I think everyone really enjoys is that he truly was one of the only people in the squad for the last few years, especially, who you feel genuinely cares, like really cares. And you got that by, you know, 1,000 things. He had a doormat at home that was like, come on, you Spurs. He made that Santa Claus dress up in blue because he didn't want to wreck Santa Claus. Like, he watched, I can't remember, he was watching some absolute dead game at the birth of his child. Like, this guy, he loved it. And that's rare. It's rare in football now. And he was, as you said, he was incredibly Marmite. It tended to be that people really disliked him and couldn't really understand the nuances of why people liked him, or they loved him and they absolutely loved that extra element he brought to Tottenham on the field and off the field. Because, you know, I think that's quite important. You know, a lot of modern fans get caught up on just winning all the time. You know, it's, at Spurs, you have to see more like a holistic approach to enjoying football. And he was that. He was fun and he was interesting and he was different and he was a complete knob at times. And it's great when it's on your team, isn't it?
I'm just going to very quickly interrupt proceedings to let you know that we are once again a sponsored podcast. What an absolute treat. So get in the Oh What a Night, boys. We're sponsored by Manscaped again. Cheers, fellas and ladies over there at Manscaped. Just a reminder that the fourth generation performance package includes the brand new Lawnmower 4.0. I know, tough to believe, but it's true. And if an athlete can treat their body like royalty, why not treat your gentleman areas like Olympic gold? Wowzers. Fellas, do right by your private parts and join the 2 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped by going to buy your own lawnmower using the code 90min20.
Do you know what's so spot on about that is I also would chuck into the fact that even though there's these moments that were kind of just here and there and all these like cult-like moments, he never really spoke.
It's like he's a villain, right? That's it. He had these shark eyes that you're pretty sure he was going to murder someone, but yeah, he never knew what he really sounded like.
My missus said to me, she said, oh, there's a load of stuff about Spurs on the internet. And I was like, yeah, Mella's leaving. She's like, oh no, the shark man.
It literally is the scariest eyes in football. And I feel like they've become sharper over the last couple. Like his face is definitely getting sharper. Like he's transitioning into some sort of actual shark.
But you just loved it, didn't you? Like you just, in all those big moments, dude, like it was like, he was always there or thereabouts, wasn't he? Causing mischief.
Mm. Well, like that, the game where he sort of had it out with Jack Wilshere towards the end. I can't remember him. I know, right? I can't remember him doing anything of note during the actual game. And then full time just rocks around and like all the Arsenal players are going for his throat. And there's that great picture of him just sort of walking away smiling like, I've done my job. This is what I was here
to do. The only picture that comes close to that is the ballot. Like, it's almost like that Balotelli. Why always me? When Rio Ferdinand's trying to rip him to shreds and he's just laughing and Mancini's sort of trying to protect him. That's that photo in a nutshell. Like, I think it's Alex Iwobi who's actually trying to pull him away and he's just laughing in Wilshere's face. I mean, look, we all wanted to laugh in Jack Wilshere's face at points. So he's the one who managed to get on the pitch and do it. He'll go down as a cult hero, if not a legend for some, but a cult hero definitely.
He'll be welcome back whenever, won't he? There's certain players. Absolutely. I was thinking about this. There's certain players that will, whatever happens in their career, you'll see on the big screen that they're sitting in the stadium watching Spurs play one time, and the crowd will just go wild. And if you ask people to put a finger on why they're going wild for Eric Lamela in 20 years' time, the chances are they probably will bring up the fact that he stamped on Fabregas's hand, or that he called Wilshere a pussy, or that he scored a Rabona at the Emirates and then got sent off like 30 minutes later. Like compiled. I'm going to seriously plagiarise someone here. I can't remember who said it. It might be you, Shawnee, but someone basically said, like, I've never known someone to have so many moments per minute played.
I saw the same thing. I wish I came up with it.
Yeah.
That's
spot on. Even when I was just googling around, just having fun and looking at his best moments, and I forgot that he just like open hand slapped Lovren in the face once. How many footballers get away with that? Just top stuff.
Yeah, and he was just someone that I feel like we got to a point where no one expected anything of Eric Lamela anymore.
You know, he'd have his renaissance, wouldn't he? Every pre-season, it's like, this is it. This is the one. This is Eric's year. And he'd have two or three good games. And then he'd have a couple of slightly less good games. Then he'd get an injury that the club would not specify, and he'd be out for like 5 to 6 weeks, and then he'd come back and barely get any game time. And that was like the annual movement of Eric Lamela around the sun.
Yeah, it's almost like watching the kind of stocks and shares and watching his value rise and fall, but it never really mediated, did it? It was just up and down, up and down. And the other thing with Lamela that was always great was that he sort of, despite kind of flattering and despite having these kind of mad moments, he could just as easily drift off again. You sort of you'd go sort of 4 or 5 games, you'd be like, oh god, Lamela hasn't played for a while, and then he'd come and do something crazy and then he's back in, and he was just a bit of a joy for me, really. I always just enjoyed Lamela being around, and he used to drive me insane as well. I think that's part of, it's like you said, Hunter, he's like, he is that embodiment of what it is to be Spurs, because more often than not, Spurs are never more than 90 minutes away from driving you bloody mad, but they're never more than 90 minutes away from you believing that anything's possible.
Yeah, and that was it in a nutshell, because he'd do something brilliant. He'd ball roll around someone and then he'd do another 15 ball rolls and you're like, you had it, you just needed to release it, my man. But that was him, and that's the way he plays, and I can't believe that it never got beaten out of him playing the Premier League. But you know, maybe that's brilliant in a way, isn't it? Like, you get so many players who get turned into sort of robots who keep possession, and when it worked for Eric Lamela, it was amazing. It was last season where he did like the 3 or 4 ball roll goal, wasn't it?
Yeah, 3 or 4 ball rolls. Almost against Fulham, wasn't it? Yeah. Where he did like 4 around the corner. He in a sense defined what it is to be a defensive minded attacking midfielder, which is just really not a position that should exist in the modern day. Colin, let's do our favourite moments, because Shawnee put out the tweet on the account. What did you go for, Sean? What was your greatest Lamela moment of all time?
I went for his man of the match performance against Man City in September 2015, because it was only about a month before. It was one of the opening few games in the season where, I don't know if you guys remember this, we drew 2-2 at home to Stoke. We were 2-0 up. We could see the 2 late goals. Lamela came on for Kane and played as like a false nine, and he was shocking, and he looked just so out of his depth. And he had like the rocky 14-15 season. It looked like that was going to be the end of him. Like, you just couldn't imagine a way back from that kind of performance. And then a couple of weeks later, toward deadline day, it looked like he was going to go to Marseille.
Yeah.
And I think the report was that Pochettino pulled him out of that. He didn't want him to go. He needed him to stay. And he started in that game against Man City, and everyone was kind of like, great, this is not going to contribute anything. This was a couple of days after we lost to Arsenal League Cup as well. So there was a lot of pressure going into this game that we needed to win. We needed to prove that essentially throwing that League Cup match was worth something. And we went one down, and it just looked like it was going to be the same old from us again. But I think he got one assist, he won a free kick for one of the goals, and he got the fourth goal. And it was just everything that you wanted him to be, like pre-injury, like just really dragging us through that mud, really kind of digging in to try and get that win. And it was just so kind of amazing to have that kind of vindication that, okay, this guy he's going to have a career here. He's like, there is room for him here. He's going to be really good.
Was that fourth goal?
Yeah. But it was like a peak Lamela goal, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It was in Jai's crossed it in. And yeah, he's gone round the keeper, and he's lucky that Otamendi slips, and he's like, put it in past him. Yeah,
just put it in. Just do it now.
Like, I'm going to keep rolling this ball until everyone's on the floor.
Until I've like fake shot everyone. Yeah. And everyone's on the floor. And then
he's almost falling over, isn't he, as well?
Yeah.
He can't actually stay on it. He's ball rolled so far that he can't stay on his feet. What was yours, Jude?
I put the assist for Eriksen's goal at Man City in 2016, because that was like a proper like sub appearance that like just showed what he was all about, really. I don't think City were particularly good that year, but it was late on. I think we had just conceded and he came on. And he just picked up the ball in midfield and he just like ran and ran and ran. And then the weight of pass and like the accuracy of it through to Eriksen, who just sort of dug it out from under his feet and put it in, was so awesome. And then there's like the pictures of them celebrating it in the corner. You can just see it was like a proper moment of like, bloody hell, this Tottenham team are quite good, actually. They could actually do something like properly tangible. It was just like it led to a really heartwarming win for Spurs and a really memorable one. So that's why I opted for that one.
Pretty pivotal moment that as well, wasn't it?
He really did turn up against Manchester City quite often, Lamela, didn't he? Like, do you remember that weird goal he scored maybe in the last 2 years ago?
What, 2-2? Yeah, 2-2. He went to curl it to the corner and it sort of went straight down the middle.
And it was just like in no man's land, but he just scored. And we got, I mean, we how we drew that game is... It was wild.
That was insane, wasn't it? Well, Hunter, what was your one?
Well, Shawnee's actually already brought it up, but I just can't get the Jack Wilshere thing at the time. You know, tides were still sort of turning then, and that Arsenal team were still pretty good, and just that reaction is just fantastic. There's so few players who can take it right to the precipice and then stay calm.
Yeah.
And Diego Costa's very good at it. So Eric Lamella is pretty good at it. And that day was just like, he managed to rile an entire fan base. I'll also chuck in winning the penalty against Liverpool in the 90 whatever minute it was.
That sparked a rivalry.
It sparked a whole rivalry.
It made a rivalry,
which how many players can say they did that? So yeah, that one's definitely up there for me as well.
Yeah, and the thing was is that all those moments, the Arsenal one, the Liverpool one, the various City ones, they all actually were a reflection on the fact that Spurs were suddenly arriving. We could have a rivalry with Liverpool because we were good enough to have a rivalry with Liverpool.
Yeah.
You know, like they were sufficiently annoyed enough about Eric Lamella winning a penalty at Anfield because it meant something. It wasn't that, oh, that's a bit annoying. It's like, oh, hang on. Sort of almost claiming that they're better than us here. And that was such a rarity for, I mean, I remember us going to Anfield and just getting humped.
Yeah.
In the 90s and the early noughties. Watching us go to Anfield, I just remember Gerard and Harry Kewell and Patrick Berger, like just all these different times where we went there and like, wasn't there one where Ian Walker sort of went to dive and save one from Steve McManaman? It just hit a bobble and went over the top
went
of him.
Over him, yeah.
So like to see us in there and actually him mixing up was a real treat. Also should point out as well that he was only red carded for Spurs once. It was wonderfully fitting that he was against Arsenal.
And if anything, fairly harsh for what Eric Lamella has done in his career. Like,
it's so true. Should have been minor. Sent off 20 times. Some crazy stat, like 50 yellow cards before he got a red or something ridiculous like that. Look, we've only got a few minutes left. We'll bring you another pod later on in the week, perhaps just kind of like reviewing a little bit more. But just while we're on the transfer front, Shawnee, Jude, what have you got for us in terms of people that Spurs are potentially looking at?
It seems like the interest we have in Atalanta defender Christian Mero is really solid. It seems like he's a player that Fabio Paratici really, really likes. The reports from Europe this morning that we're looking at Croatia defender Duj Seletica as well. So I think he was really heavily linked with Liverpool last year. They really wanted him. Yeah, I think it's quite heartening that we're linked with a lot of defenders. It's really good that we're seeing that as a problem area. Hunter, you said today about we were linked with Joaquin Correa from Lazio?
Yeah, there was reports floating around in the Italian media that was an apparent target of interest. Although this is, as we've discussed before, I think on here, this is how Paratici tends to do his business. He doesn't go after one target. He goes after six that can play similar roles, so I wouldn't be surprised if that's, you know, one of many that he sort of puts his feelers out to. You know, Spurs fan base already dubbing him like the man who doesn't sleep. So
I found that quite strange.
Yeah, let's wait and see if we're any good at football, shall we, lads? Yeah. Like, it's just
let's jump straight away and start calling him Don Paratici.
We're desperate, man. We've had a year of desperation. It's coming out in the form of Don Paratici.
Let's also not pretend that it's fundamental to human existence that sleep is a thing.
Yeah, let's not glorify the idea of dying. Yeah, like working yourself to death. Turn your phone off, mate. Go and meet your friends.
Not sleeping is actually quite counterproductive, isn't it?
Do you imagine if you're just like, people just ask for a price and you paid it, you'd probably get a decent time.
I mean, that is the other thing here, right? If Spurs are just buying players, that's a whole different... If Spurs have just decided, right, we do actually need to buy players to stay relevant and to keep fighting, even relatively, it's like, that's just a decision on the club. I think, yeah. So they're the two we've been linked with. Gallini's come in as well, which is a really strong backup option to Lloris, which I'm not sure we could say we had last year. And the rumours are that Joe Hart will be fighting with Whiteman for the third place jersey.
Yeah, reports saying today that Joe Hart's not in Nuno's plans, which is, I mean, it's not out of the blue, right? Joe Hart is sort of, a lot of us were quietly sort of quite taken aback by the fact that the club had signed Joe Hart as opposed to a younger goalkeeper who was on the way up. They've decided to go for someone who had a bit more of a track record, which fair enough. But it was definitely not in line with our original philosophy around signing young players and trying to bring them through. So look, we'll hopefully be back at the back end of the week where we can discuss what we've seen so far in pre-season, because I think there's actually some really interesting stuff in there. Even though Nuno has tried to claim that this is all just about fitness, there's definitely some patterns of play emerging which will be quite interesting to dig into.
Well, we've got MK Dons as well on Wednesday, don't we?
The mighty MK Dons.
Yeah, the Dele Alli special.
At Stadium MK, yeah. And then we play against Arsenal and Chelsea, which would probably be a better test of where we're at. I hope you've enjoyed this kind of ode to Eric Lamella. Send us in your comments, as always. Get in touch with us on Twitter as well, and you can help us raise a glass to what was a magnificent 7 years of Coco. Enjoy the rest of the week, guys. We'll see you all very soon. Remember to subscribe if you haven't already. Take care. What a fool.